This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
This is the iFanboy Pick a League Podcast, episode 551, brought to you by iFanboy listeners just like you. I gotta tell you what I'm feeling inside. I could lie to myself, but it's true. There's no denying when I look in your eyes. Girl, I'm out of my head over you. And I live so long. Welcome to the iFanboy Pick a League Podcast, episode 551. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm here with Josh Flanagan.
Hello.
And Ron Richards.
Why, hello there.
And we're back to normal format.
Back to normal. That was quite the adventure.
It's not a normal format, though, because it's changed. Because I left something off because it changed. So there's...
New normal.
There's new normal. Exactly, the new normal.
Yep.
And what is that? We are a fanboy. We like comics. Everyone could talk about our favorite comics. We read a stack of them. We talk about our favorite one. I went off script for a second there. We call it the pick of the week. We'll talk about that book, other books we read. We'll do some listener questions. We will thank our patrons. It'll be a great time for everyone, especially the patrons, which I was really glad to hear, guys, some feedback from some of the people that we gave superpowers to, that they really enjoyed it. So I'm glad.
Yes, yeah. Some people got in touch on Twitter. It was great to see that they were welcomed. And I just hope that
it continues.
That trend continues.
I really, listen,
I'll be honest. It's going to get weird.
I can't wait for the first one that, like, strikes some nerve. Oh, well, I guess that's okay. But what you should know is that my grandfather was killed while just whatever. And that's going to happen. And they're going to need to tell us.
Yep. So here's a spoiler warning for this show. It's a review show. There'll be some spoilers, so be ready. Put your big boy pants on, big girl pants on.
Heyo.
And listen to the show. This is Josh's week. He had to pick.
I did.
On a fifth week with hardly any books.
Well, you know what? That's what you said to me, but that was bullshit. I read plenty of comics.
What books did you read? List them all.
I'm not prepared for this. I got five here from Image, and then I don't know, there was like 15-ish.
I had 10.
Well, 10 used to be like a good normal week in the old days. People say
not for you, 20 was my normal week in the old days.
But you're obsessive.
And I like comics.
Right, that's what I said. Pick of the week. I'm holding the wrong book.
At some point,
I had picked up Lazarus 24, and then at some point, I had put it down and replaced it with Tokyo Ghost. And I was like, I don't know what to say about this. And then, I don't know how that happened. I blanked out. The pick of the week is Lazarus number 24 from Greg Rucka and Michael Lark. I had actually missed the last issue at some point, so I read these two right in a row. So I read 23 and 24. And by the time I got to the end of 24, I was like, I want to know next. But one of the things I kind of wanted to check in a little on this, because I feel like we haven't talked about it a lot, because it's Greg Rucka is familiar with this, but it's the creeping excellence. It's just, it's still over there being excellent. It's good. But one of the things that's happening here is that we are seeing the turn. This is the action on the turn, which is that forever, Carlyle, the Lazarus of the family Carlyle, has sort of been getting clued into like all is not as she feels, and this is when she's starting to act on it and speak up about it, and she, you know, talks to her father about it. She starts to rebel, and you've got this really creepy background thing where there is another baby forever.
That was a great reveal that happened a few issues ago. Where
yeah,
it was revealed that wasn't a flashback we've been watching as a young Forever. It was actually another clone of Forever.
I cannot tell if that's a good technique or not, but I think it worked.
It worked really well for me. I don't know.
Yeah, because confused. I was like, wait a minute, is this a flashback?
And it was confusing. It was totally confusing.
Right. Confusion works.
We talked about that on the show, how we were confused, but once you got past the confusion.
Yeah, confusion works. It works as a good reveal. And also, like, so I'm like, are they in the same building? Is this like a hallway thing?
They just keep not passing, almost
I know. It's like they're in the same compound, as far as I can tell. Like, the one's outside. So that seems
security
like,
guards are watching on cameras. Yeah. Like, oh, God, oh! Almost in the same room at the same time.
But I really, because you kind of, at first, you know, Forever, the Lazari, is that right? If there's more
sure.
Than
sure.
Yes. They're all, they seem sort of like automatons a little bit, but as we keep going, we're starting to see them sort of act of their own accord a little bit, and I really like this. I also, there was a reveal, I think it was in this issue, that, like, Forever is the peak. She's the best
she's
of
the best.
Lazarus.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting, and, you know, the other one's not ready, and they can't lose her, and you've got this other, the blonde lady, whose name is Sonia Bittner, and the Germans are all fighting with each other, which is great. And it's just, like, there was a lot of cool things that happened here when they got rid of the doctor, and he's got something going on, and that all tied into the very beginning of like, when we saw them all, the waste were all in the traveling that we kind of forgot about, and we're like, why is this year? It's a lot of things came together. It felt like 24, end of the second year, theoretically. It was a good issue to sort of set us up for what happens next.
We've talked about it before, and I cannot believe it's only been 24 issues.
Yeah, I mean, one of the other things is that I feel like the world is firmly set up now, so we're not, like, you understand how the world works. So they don't have to do so much explaining of that either. They can just sort of, like, the pieces are all moving right now.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's obviously
super dense.
It's
just so deep. There's so much world building he's done, and the issues are all so dense that it just feels like it's been going on much longer. I know they've taken breaks, month-long breaks. I'm not necessarily talking about time-wise, although that's a part of it, but just the number on the cover. It feels like there should be more than 24 issues.
Yeah,
which is totally good. I feel like I'm shortchanged at all with this book.
Yeah, and they've had their share of shipping woes and things like that. But I think that it's like it's going at the right pace.
Are there shipping woes or is it, you know?
There were.
Okay, because in my mind, it's a little like one of those, like, this is how long it takes. They'll come out in a burst. There'll be some time off. There'll be just like, you know, with Invisible Republic happens, or with you know. Quietly, but to a lesser extent. Right. And that is, you know, this is perfectly acceptable to me, or you know, any of the Brubaker books, all those sort of top level creator indie books that have a high end artist on them, they're not always coming out regularly, but they're coming out. It's not like it disappeared for a year. It's not Planetary. It's not, what was that other one? What's the really legendary one?
Ultimate Wolverine versus Hulk.
No, it was the Image
That's
one.
The one, man. That's the one it took, Damon Lindelof wrote, and took like 6 years between issues.
Yeah, but what's the Nate? It's like the World of Warcraft.
Oh, the non-player.
Non-player, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like that. You know, it's like, at this point, because all the other comics are coming out so rapidly, I get to a letters page in an Image book, and it's like, we're sorry about a little delay there. And I was like, I did not notice that. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
There's so
well,
much
I mean,
material.
it's funny, and I don't want us to slide into the shipping discussion, like the shipping schedule discussion, right? But I think it's, on one end of the spectrum, what you've got is you've got the complaint that that Marvel and DC are double shipping and triple shipping and shipping all the time, and you're getting, you know, you're not getting consistent artists because they're banging the issues out and just, you know, it's just ship. Whereas on the other end of the spectrum, you get books like this where it's a dedicated art team. It's the model that we want, but honestly, you're lucky if somebody can pull it off monthly on an ongoing basis.
Sure.
You know, like, realistically, it's every 6 weeks. That's just the reality of it, you know?
Fair.
And so, and so it's funny because it's like, and on one hand, it's like, for whatever reason, I look at, you know, Captain America's and Batman's and Things of the World as like the network television where you want a new episode every week. But then, you know, these books are more like the HBO AMC's where they do a six episode run and then goes away for a year, that sort of thing, you know. I don't know. I think that distinction is interesting. So.
Yeah. So as I flip through this issue, they're just every single scene is interesting and impactful. Like the first scene is the one Lazarus coming down and literally exterminating one of the families, like taking away the heads of the family. You know, the next scene is we go to the little, you know, the young Forever, who is so happy. And then it's older Forever and her father and just, you know, literally playing chess, which is,
well, it's a great parallel because in the yeah. young Forever's playing a board game, and there's a screen in the if it was a TV show or a film, it'd be shot the same exact mm-hmm. way, right? It's the yeah. they're in their respective rooms playing board games with their family members, and there's a giant screen in the background, and you can see the different books that each one reads. And mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever noticed the screens before. Mm-hmm. I like that sort of glimpse into their lives. What are the books? And you can see some of them are more important than others because they're given prominent placement in the background, like the older Forever. The last line is sitting in between her and her dad, which is probably foreshadowing. I like that whole. You're right. That whole sequence was really great.
Yeah, yeah. There's the creepy room full of Forever body parts. Like, there's a lot to like in this issue. And so I think it's one of those things where, like, most of them, these are pretty good. And I was like, this was really good. Like, it had more of those yes. things that I like yes. about it.
I liked also the little bit at the end when they really take off the head of the family,
right.
the two. I always like when the Lazarus hang out together.
I do too, because
they get to relax and they get to chat and show personalities. And here we have two Lazarus who apparently going around the world just killing heads of the families.
Well, and, I think the interesting thing about it is that like they have a ton in common. They're yep. on whatever side they are because of nothing to do with them. So like at any time, you're like, oh, these guys are gonna have to fight each other later. You know, I think the last issue was Sonya fighting one of the other Lazarus, you know, that she'd had a problem. It was Russia versus Germany, which is right. which is great. Yeah, it's just a fun issue. And I mean, I'm not trying to ignore the Michael Lark art, but it's Michael Lark art. We've talked about it a lot. He had some help on inks. But other than that, you know, like his pages are wonderful. Always like he is great. He's really good at doing a lot of panels on a page and not making it look hard. Just really, no, I mean, just like sometimes yeah. it's effortless. You go, oh, I don't realize that he'd sort of squeeze so many panels in there. Cause a lot of times you'll notice something like that, but his pages are kind of effortlessly readable, even when right. there's a ton there. I mean, he can do stuff that would normally have to rely on a lot of dialogue.
Right.
Like he does like sequences of sort of people sitting and talking or doing whatever that don't necessarily need dialogue, which is really impressive.
Yeah, yeah, no, and I agree. Yeah, he does. There's a lot of showing, not telling, in his books,
yeah.
And that's really great. One thing to note, going back to the schedule thing or whatever, I think part of what got Lazarus kind of back on schedule, and to give just a call out, is the Lark is now joined by Tyler Boss on inks, and Tyler Boss is the penciler on Four Kids Walking to a Bank. So a nice little interesting thing there. So, you know, what it's like inking Michael Lark, you know, who inks himself for so long, like that's, you know, and I haven't noticed a drop in the art quality at all, which is interesting. So, yeah.
Do you think they have sexy conversations?
Probably.
He used to get inked by Stefano Gaudiano and like,
you're right.
You know what? There was a team of people, like his name was written there, but there were other people working on it too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Am I the only one who doesn't think the room full of body parts is weird?
No, oh, no, that's weird.
I think about it, I'm like, you know, I could use a new back. That'd be fine. my ankle's been acting up. Just throw a new ankle on
There's a practical value to it that you can't deny as long as you have the technology. And you got to remember, like, the Lazarus is, they're a little tougher than us.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, they heal less infection. I don't know.
My wrist has been acting up. I could, you know, no more carpal tunnel. Just throw a new arm on there.
Yeah, that's a good
point. I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
it's a long recovery time.
Not for them.
No, for you though.
That's for sure. So interesting. You put Saga 37 on the rundown, Josh.
Yeah. Well,
are we just skipping over Deathstroke Rebirth?
Well, that was the plan, and Connor was with it, but apparently you can't let something go.
I was reading this issue and I thought, I don't really have a lot to say about this book anymore.
Well, that was literally why I was here. That was my question. Because I feel like we're at that point. It's almost the same as Lazarus. You know, I still get a little thrill when I see that there's one coming out. And I guess I wanted to check in with you guys on where you are on the saga.
I'm not struggling with it, but it's the first Brian K. Vaughan book I've really read long term in single issues. I've normally been reading his books in trade, and I think for me that's a more satisfying experience.
Interesting.
I've heard this. That seems to be the way that you've been going just in general, outside of superheroes.
Yeah, issue to issue, these are all great, but he's telling such a long story that to read it in such small chunks is not as satisfying.
Which is funny because I feel the opposite. I really like the issue chunk because I think he's a great issue guy. But if there was anything, this is almost one of those ones where I do wish it came out a little more regularly. Because it has been going on so long that I've kind of forgot where we started a little.
Isn't this book pretty regular? Other than this regular scheduled break?
Well, the reason why they take the break and then they ship like clockwork on a monthly standpoint because they did take the break and they spent that time working and you know, and that sort of thing.
It's not a fault. It's just it'd be cool if that was the case. But
I mean the thing is it's definitely fallen into the rut of being consistently good. You know, and that it's just, you know, that it's the expectation is set and it meets it every time. And so it's like, it's the chew dilemma, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's part of it, but I don't know that's all of it. I think also part of it is that he's telling a different kind of story.
Yes.
Than most other, it's not really plot driven.
Yeah.
It is, but he also time
things
jumps.
Happen.
He
things
time happen. Jumps in the sure. narration. So we know stuff. Before right. they show stuff, and like it's almost hard to. That's my new campaign slogan. Do you like it?
I was just gonna say. I feel like that's you could do something with that.
But I guess the thing that I noticed when I was reading this is when we skip over it though, there are things in here that I feel like need to be called out. Masturbating robot face, just for example. There's a big robot dick in this, and he just can't make it work. But besides that, like there's actually that was just.
Oh, he's making it work. He just is. He just got freaked out by what was making it work.
Yeah. Yeah, but that threw him off. He couldn't. Anyway.
Yeah.
First page, though, like, this is one of those things where you're like, this was written by a person with a, this is written by a parent. There's like, the little girl is sleeping and, you know, it looks adorable. And then on the second page, they call out the fact that she's drooling and then she snores. And like, I was like, oh, that's totally a thing that happens. Like, it was very real. It was very interesting. Like, if you're a parent, those are the things you can't help but notice. They will snore. They'll drool all over the place, and it's kind of it's great. I just thought it was a really nice touch to sort of.
Is that something you guys get excited about? I mean, like,
yeah, no, it's great. Look, seriously, like he's snoring right now. It's funny. It's cute. You do what you can to make your life a little more interesting,
and not miserable.
Yeah. My life is not miserable. I'd like to point that out. My son has started first grade. Everything is very fun right now.
Good.
But it's just a nice
time. What did you think of it?
Oh, no, I think it's just consistently good. I mean, I think that it's built up. It's definitely raised the bar in terms of you know quality. Like I you know, it's better than most books out there, and still continually the one that, you know, when people ask what should I read, you go read Saga and that sort of thing. But like it, and maybe just because I'm jaded or too close to it or whatever, but just like it hasn't blown me away like it did when it first burst on the scene. You know, like I've fallen into complacency with it.
But you're used to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This is like.
Which isn't a bad thing. I mean, that's just it is what it is. You know.
Well, this is like me with that new Dinosaur Jr. album. You were like, it's great, and I was like, yeah, it's fine. It's the same thing that it always was that I liked. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, I was having a little trouble getting excited about it. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just what I'm used to, which is what I really like to begin with. But it's the same.
So, talking about what we really like, but is the same, but wanting it to be different. Nova number 10. So I really, really, really want to like this Nova series. I've grown to like the character Sam Alexander. I like the idea of a younger Nova. I like the idea that he's the last one and all this sort of stuff. But I've been complaining. Here on the show and to anyone who'll listen. I'm standing on the corner of
one of those guys on a bus.
Yeah, 36th and 8th, and just going, somebody. I wanted them to. They've been stuck in this rut of he's a teenager and he's trying to be Nova, but his sister needs a babysitter and he's having problems at school, and it's been stuck in that cycle. And they've been dangling this, you know, wants to find his father. There's something going on with the Nova Corps and all that sort of thing. And I've been like, oh, just get to it. And it looks like finally they've navigated their way out of it to just finally fucking get to it. And I can't wait.
Yeah, I it's funny because the middle part of this, or I guess the middle three quarters of this issue, is him having an adventure with this guy who knows where Mind World is. And
yeah,
I didn't care anything about that part. I kind of actually skimmed that part because I was like, I don't care about this guy. I don't care about who they're running from.
Yep.
I don't care about any of this.
It's for me, this was all about the last page.
Right. So when he goes through the hole in space and goes to Mind World, and there's the church with the stained glass Novas.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. World Mind, not Mind World.
World Mind. Yeah. I'm sorry. World Mind.
That was great. I was about that, and I'm looking forward to the next issue. But until then, I was like,
Yeah, exactly. I think this book is overdue for a Nova in space having Nova Corps related adventures and not wrestling with being Nova on Earth.
Which I didn't. So. We differ that. I like that, but.
No, I like that too, but there's got to be balance. There's got to be – and I just felt for the past 9 issues I've been reading the same issue over and over again.
Right. I get that.
So.
Yeah, I understand.
I don't read it, but I've sort of seen the image of that Nova character, and I really like the aesthetic of him being a kid.
Yeah, he's like, tiny.
He is, and like the helmet is big, and like he's instantly – a lot of times you'll get a character who gets rebooted – and it won't look any visually different. And this character looks visually different than the old Nova. And the way that the helmet is drawn, it evokes a little kid. Like, it's a bigger head over a skinny body.
I really like him in other books.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, yep. when he's interacting with Ms. Marvel or Spider-Man, like, that's a good little group of friends. I like that group. It's sort of organic. It makes sense. And so they have a good rapport. And he's a good character, but...
I'm just flipping through it, and there's a panel here where he's walking down the stairs, like in his uniform, and his mom is looking at him, and he's just like, they already know, and it worries them. And I was like, I don't know that I've seen that. We're like, the parents know, and they're like, well, off you go.
Yeah.
That's kind of an interesting take on it, because as you were describing it before, I was like, that sounds very familiar.
There is that different angle where his family's in the know, mm-hmm. and there's a familial connection that his father was Nova, but nobody knew, but he found out, and now he's trying to figure out where his father is. And,
is it Richie? Yeah, is it Rich Rider's son?
No, it's different Nova.
Nova, yeah. He was a black Nova.
Oh.
No, not like racially, like he...
No, like that's why Sam's costume looks visually different than Rich Rider's, because it was a different, you know, like a different faction
of the Red Guards in the Death Star.
A different corpse.
I was gonna say, you said like the Crimson Guard in the Death Star. I was gonna say like the SS.
Oh. Or you could just say the Crimson Guard in G.I. Joe in Cobra.
Yeah,
G.I. Joe and the Crimson Guard in Star Wars were the elite soldiers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems like a waste to have your elite soldiers standing around the Emperor's throne room.
Yeah. Well, you're off the front lines. You're out of danger.
But you're wasting the elite soldiers then. All that training.
The whole Empire exists just for Palpatine's benefit. So.
Right,
he's going to make the wall. It's not about a show. It's about saying, I can do this.
Maybe that's why they lost, because they had all their scrubs out there fighting. And the elite guys were hanging around in red robes.
And also, those guys are atrophying.
Right.
Why did they? Why I get the helmet, but why do they have the handkerchief over the mouth? That's what I never understood.
They were wonderful singing voices. That's why
they really did. Yeah. So,
am I the only one reading Afterlife with Archie?
Yes.
I mean, not everywhere, but
no, on the show.
On the show, yes.
Where it matters. Okay, so
we matter.
This is tough because it comes out so infrequently. I think it's like 3 or 4 a year.
Back to that schedule topic.
Yeah, this is the first one that I didn't like. And so it's a bummer because I'm not going to get another one for another quarter or so. But one of the things I've really enjoyed about this series is that it's taken the characters and put them into a realistic setting. And zombies aside, we've dealt with realistic, you know, there's been incest issues and abuse and things. You've had these characters as a way to expose those issues. But the characters are still them, despite the fact they're in this different kind of world. In this issue, it's all about Josie and the Pussycats, and we find out that they are immortal zombies. I mean, immortal vampires. And it's like, now you've changed the characters.
Right.
Yeah. We hadn't done that before. You just put them in this different world. Or you've revealed things about them. You revealed that Cherry and her brother were sleeping together. That's still, the characters are still themselves. But now you've told me that Josie and the Pussycats were born in 1906 and they were bitten by vampires and now they're immortal. And I was reading this and I was very, very confused because I was like, is this something that's from the books I just never knew? That can't be possible because it's been so true to the stories. And this was a major shift in the way they're presenting these characters.
I love that they've crossed a line with you on this.
I was just gonna say, like, is there such a thing as a bridge too far with these reimagining or unique takes on characters you know and love?
Well, yes, because they did that to Sabrina, but in her solo book, not in this book. In this book, she's still Sabrina, the teenage witch. In this book now, it's changed the paradigm of the world in which we had these characters from Riverdale thrust into this awful situation. Now we're pulling back, going, oh well, some of them are different, and not just hidden things, secrets about their lives. It's that, oh, some of them are magical creatures, and that kind of blows the interesting thing about the book. Now it's not enough to derail the book entirely because it's a fantastic book, but I just hope that we don't find out that Dudley is an alien, because that's just dumb.
Right.
So it was kind of a bummer. It was a good issue. I mean, Francesco Francofilia continues to draw the hell out of it. I enjoyed the historical trip through time because what they had to do was go in underground, reinvent themselves every decade, so that you saw them as like a 60s band and as like a sort of a 70s punk band and 80s pop band. So that was all interesting. But at the end of the day, it's like, well, that's not the rules you set up for this world. So.
So they're breaking their own rules.
A little bit of a bummer, but it was the first one I didn't really enjoy when I put down, for that reason.
When did this start?
In 2007.
No, did it?
I don't know. It's been a while. It's been many years.
Yeah.
I think you were off the show when it started.
I definitely was. So it's got to be 2013 was the first. It started in 2013. So it's been three years and 10 issues.
Yeah, we get about three a year.
Jeez.
Yeah. Well, the writer is very busy. He's the Roberto Garcia-Casa. He is now basically, he's the chief creative officer at Archie now. He's doing the TV show, the movie, and this comic. And then you've got Francesco Francavilla, who's always also busy himself. So, like we were discussing earlier, like Josh said, I don't mind that the creative team is great and they stay together and they tell their story, and it's not dependent on other books, so it's not like it's screwing up the story at Archie.
Yeah, it's so in their own little world, right?
It's its own bubble. Yeah. But I just didn't enjoy this particular one. Yeah. That's fine. That's all. Now the title of this particular arc is Betty R.I.P. If they kill Betty, all bets are off.
Wow.
All bets are off.
So would you drop it if they kill Betty?
I don't even think about it, Ron. I can't even contemplate a world without Betty Cooper.
All right.
I can't. Someone do the ad read while I look at the post.
Josh.
If you need to help Connor through this time and support him while he contemplates what is essentially fictional mortality, please go to ifanboy.com/support. And if you go there, you will find two things. You will find a link to our Amazon affiliate. I was going to say page, but that's not really right, because just use Amazon.
Just a link to Amazon, that's all.
That link does is it puts a little bit of code up there that says to Amazon, hey, we sent you. And by doing that, when you purchase a thing from there, they have many things. If I was at Amazon, I would say we have many things.
You cannot purchase Young Frankenstein right now, though, which I discovered yesterday.
Oh.
It is on back order.
Interesting.
It's on back order. Everybody bought out the stock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we will get a little piece of those purchases. Cost you nothing else. Also, there are a lot of other podcasts to do this too, and I would prefer that you used our link instead of theirs. It's going to be...
Because our link is really the best. So
well, it's not that. It's that the other ones do not benefit me directly. Right.
It's a tremendous link, Ron. It's the best. We had the best people on it, and they made a really great link. And it's really, everyone's talking about it.
We're looking into some information on some of the other links. They may not be as good. This is the best link, though. We have great links at iFanboy. We have the best links.
There are a lot of links out there, and some of them you can't trust. All of them, you know, they're telling you that it's a link, and you know, and it might be linking you, but it might not be linking you. So
a lot of these links are murderers. A lot of these links are selling drugs.
Listen, our links have been vetted by the
really rigorous vetting process.
Industry, you know, analysts, and it's just really like with the forms we had to fill out for these links. I can't even tell you. A lot of forms.
They're the best links. Make links great again. You can also find a link to our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/ifanboy, and there you can support iFanboy directly through your monetary contribution, and it leads to such things as some of what's going to happen later in the show today. It means that you can vote on the book that you would most like us to read, and then we will do that with the book that got the most votes. It means that as it continues to grow, as it gets to be the best Patreon, I mean, it's the best Patreon. There are other goals to be achieved, but we're already at the point where we're going to be doing did you like that live show we did? Well, we're going to do weekly hangouts for Patreon. Not weekly, monthly, 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 monthly hangouts for Patreon patrons, just like that. So, and you got to be a patron to come and do that. So, again, that is patreon.com/ifanboy.
And we are halfway to our next goal. So you could help us meet our next goal, and you could see a world filled with iFanboy t-shirts. So get in on that.
We also added a couple of new stretch goals if you want to check that out on the page. All right, so... Josh.
Yes.
I was surprised that this was not the pick of the week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was just pick of the week.
This was my pick of the week.
Yeah. Yep.
Why don't we fill in the listeners on what we're talking about?
Jupiter's Legacy Volume 2, Issue 3. You know, it would have been like, but it was a good issue.
You don't have to write the review anymore, Josh. You can pick them.
I know, but I literally was like, just listen to what we said last time. and because of that, it was less interesting as a pick of the week for me than Lazarus. But yes,
I loved this issue.
It was awesome.
I loved this series. I loved this particular issue. I mean, it was you see all everything happens in here. You see coming a mile away. However, it's done so wonderfully.
Well, not like that, but like this was all set up by those other. But the other miniseries.
Yes.
Which at the time you were like, why am I reading this?
Right.
And to have it all come together like that, I mean, that, like, that's what it was like watching The Wire for the first time. Three seasons.
I was just going to ask you, Josh, was this slow clap worthy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, really, really gorgeous, quietly stuff. I mean that's obviously.
Duh.
It sounds dumb to say, but I thought this issue in particular was like. This was tasty quietly.
Yep.
This was like high quality.
Well, it was all it was mostly just folk talking.
Right, and he just does some great faces. But it, you know, when they rip the door, when there's a hole in the wall, it pulls back, and you see the wrecked guy's apartment and the hole. It just there's a great, great pages in here.
The first time you see Sky Fox in the other series, I just thought, what a stupid costume. And now I just love that character so much. I love that his son acts like him and looks like him. And then the little kid, the grandson, is every bit as capable and more as him. And it's just, it all lines up. It's excellent. This might be.
The legacy aspect of these characters that Miller is weaving with this, you know, this is his self-professed, this is my Watchman, really hit home today. And it was just like, oh, cool. Like I get it now. Like, you see, this was the issue where, not a little bit of last issue too, but like getting the sense of the bigger picture and how this whole world that's been invaded by these superpowers and them still not even knowing what it means for the greater culture and just dealing with their own inner squabbles and things like that. I just thought it nailed it. I'm so pro Miller these days.
He won me over. I like him a lot. I'll tell you the difference between this issue and the last one. The last one was pick of the week. What they did not do was they didn't top that cutaway. of
being put through a building. They had a cutaway.
The building cutaway and a hell of an action scene. And you'd have to top that. They just equaled
it.
Look at that last page, though, sitting there with a cigarette in his mouth.
Yep.
It's just gorgeous. This is. I really can't wait to read this and Jupiter's Circle. What was it called?
Sure.
Jupiter's Circle. Yep.
All together.
Yep.
Just read the whole story straight through. I think what you'll find when you do that is it's a very layered and interesting generational tale.
Do you mean when it's done? Because you could do it right now. You can.
No,
just
it's stop almost
waiting.
Done. It's. This is the last bit he talked about. He's talking about this week. The issue 6 is the final issue of this story. So we got 3 issues left.
Enjoy it while you can.
So I wanted to talk about Hyperion, issue number 6. This was the last issue of a miniseries, which I don't believe that I have mentioned, written by author Chuck Wendig.
I feel like I talked about this first issue.
I don't think I was around when you did.
I definitely read the first issue and then promptly dropped it after the second issue, but go on.
I could see that, because I kind of – I was trying to read – So
I was trying to read something different, so I picked out a Marvel superhero book by a known
you're
author.
Complaining about having too many books.
Well,
because
I'm
you did it to yourself. You shot yourself in the foot.
No, I'm trying to find something interesting to talk about on this show that is not the normal thing we talk about, which is why. And I don't know that I loved it, but I really did like how it wrapped up. I liked the ending, and I liked the point, which is basically spelled out at the end here. So Tony Stark sort of shows up... at the end of last issue, and is like, I got to bring you in because you killed Namor, which is the thing that I didn't know happened. But that doesn't matter.
Wait, and Namor's dead.
Apparently. And Hyperion killed him. And
I talked about it in the beginning of the...
I remember that.
It was the Squadron Supreme. Remember? Yes.
That's correct.
But basically, like, the whole point at the end of it, like, this girl... had sought out Hyperion to help her escape from the crazy circus people that she was trapped by. And he was like, I don't want to do it. And he ends up saving her, and that's the whole thing. And Tony Stark, you know, tries to get him to come in. And basically his point at the end is like, I'm not that superhero that you think I am. I'm not that kind of person. I'm not the kind of person who most people think of as a superhero. I'm actually a god. I'm super powerful. He kills all the bad guys by rocketing himself into the ground and creating a nuclear blast. You know, and he's like, I'm a god. It was a really interesting take. And so, like, it worked really well as a whole, I thought, although I sort of thought the bits of it leading up to it weren't as interesting, if that makes sense. So I can see why you would have dropped it.
Shouldn't that nuclear blast have global repercussions?
Well, maybe it just looks nuclear and he's whatever. He's a god. He can control that stuff. The villain in this is basically, the deal is that the villain in this can always come back from anything as long as there is one molecule of him left. And
like
so
that sounds like a power we'd give to one of our patrons.
Right. So he destroys it. He doesn't have necessarily superpowers, but he's just indestructible. And so he destroys him like in a big blast and then brings him out to space and leaves him there.
Okay.
So he can't get anywhere. And there's a nice follow up, you know, with the other character and her getting her life back. And I will say, like, there's too much Tony Stark in fucking everything, and everybody writes him exactly like Robert Downey Jr., so they go over the top, and it's getting tiring.
Yep.
Sorry. Anyway, I think the miniseries is worth reading.
Was it the final issue?
Yes, it was. That's 6. There's 6 of them. So you'll probably get a nice trade, because Wendig's a name, and they'll put that out there. That is what they do. It's not a big bet I'm making there. Spider-Man number 7 and Ms. Marvel number 10 are both the Civil War 2 books from this week.
Yeah.
Yep. And my observation about them is that the only stories that I'm really enjoying out of this Civil War thing are the ones about the people who are like, why are we doing this? And I'm reading that like in a bunch of places where like the writers can't even resist the fact of just like, this is stupid.
It's not a balanced story. I mean, the original Civil War, you know, you were on Cap's side because he's Cap, but legitimate arguments could be made for the other side.
Yep.
This one, there's basically no legitimate argument for the other side, so it's really hard to...
And they're doing it with a character, like we talked about, they're doing this character that I really like, and they're fucking wrecking Captain Marvel.
The continued character assassination of Captain Marvel continued this week in Ms. Marvel 10.
Yeah.
She comes off bad again. I really... enjoyed both these issues. I really like Ms. Marvel 10 a lot because I really have come to like that character, that her best friend, and to hear how badly he was injured from the last issue, and his primary hand is basically can't use anymore, and he's a genius who builds things. And I felt really emotional reading that, because over the last couple of years I've really liked that character, and so now his life is fucked because of these superheroes doing the Minority Report style crime fighting. And so when Ms. Captain Marvel shows up and said, basically, you got to deal with it, I was like, fuck you. Like, this is stupid. And you're dumb.
And the last Captain Marvel, which I thought was this week, but actually came out, I think, before, is her showing her doubts. So it's like, she doesn't even buy this. Yeah. And they were trying to make, like, none of the thinking writers have been able, like, it's creeping out that none of the thinking writers are able to justify any of this. And right. That's what I noticed from reading this. You have Bendis. Bendis... If there's ever a guy who was good at towing the company line, and he's got his character,
well, he's
like,
writing the main book.
I know. Yeah.
Which we've been enjoying. To be fair, we've been enjoying
yes,
it.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
But in all the other books, it's, and at that through line just of these two characters on quote unquote opposite sides, they're both like, I don't know, this doesn't seem right.
I don't know. But that's the only place you see that for Carol.
Yeah.
Everywhere else, she's. She's not. I don't want to make a Nazi reference, but she's very much like totalitarian and authoritarian.
It's for their own good.
Yeah, right. for the greater good.
Yeah, the greater good. that was my point.
I like both these issues a lot.
Yep.
Yeah. Spider-Man. I expressed my frustrations with the last Spider-Man. I think issue 6, but this one felt a little better. So
it's a great character. I mean, like it's the same guy writing it, so.
I was marveling at his parents' gigantic fucking bedroom in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Where is that? So this week, we've talked a lot over the years, over the 11 years, about licensed books and how they're usually pretty dicey.
Yeah.
But if you get the right creators on them, they can be fun and interesting. And this week we had World of Tanks #1 from Dark Horse Comics, which is a licensed book. From the people, yeah, it is. It's a licensed book from the people War Gaming, who makes World of War Tanks and World of Warships, and
because I gotta tell you, I was like, I feel like I've read this issue of Tankies.
So here we have Garth Ennis and Carlos Esquerra doing a tour story about tanks in World War II.
And I really thought it was like, I was like, is this just another name for a continuation of Tankies?
No.
Are you sure? Because I need to go back and find those issues, because I was waiting for the Geordie guy. I just...
Maybe it'll be a crossover. But it was a fun... You know, he's... It wasn't quite as good as Tankies, I thought. I thought it was fine. Like, I'd put this squarely probably in the middle of his war stories works. But I think it's interesting that he's now... So he was at Vertigo, and then he was at Dynamite, and then he was at... Is it Avatar?
Yep.
And now he's at Dark Horse.
Titan.
Titan for Johnny Red.
And Avatar. Yeah. Avatar. Aftershock. He did the World War II plane story. This is now his sixth company. He's doing.
You gotta go where you can get it.
Yeah, but maybe not though. I mean. I don't want him to get pigeonholed entirely. He's really good at it, and it's great, and I'm glad that there's a place to do it, and I will take it where I can get it, but it feels like they're like, we don't know what to do with Garth Ennis now. Let's give him this World War II book and give him one of his artists. Actually, that's what made this one a little better, is that it was Carlos Esquerra.
Well, just knowing the way this... I mean, more likely is they got the license, and they said, the only way this is going to sell is if we get Garth Ennis.
Maybe.
Carlos Esquerra, and one of his guys on it, and Garth Ennis will, of course, write his World War II comics wherever people will pay him.
Yeah.
So,
that being said,
I don't think this came from Garth. I think this came from the license, and then they got Garth.
No, I know. But he didn't do anything differently than he normally does. That's right. Not a complaint. But either way, like, I like to see some other stuff from him.
Yeah.
He does. You just don't read it. He has a cop book at Dynamite, and he's got stuff going on. It's just, you're not reading it.
I've looked. I've tried, but
it's not his best work.
That's kind of what I'm getting at.
And I'm saying this is he's probably my top five all-time writers, but this isn't his best World War II work. I thought this was very much in the middle. Not even as good as some of the stuff he did at Avatar.
Yeah,
looked much better, but you know.
Yeah, they did.
But
I'm glad I read it.
Yep.
It's cool. A horrible logo, but that and you just explained why. It's like, why is this cover so ugly?
Yeah, I did a double take on that.
I have nothing but good things to say about the nice Russian people who are behind the company.
Yes.
Nice, good, great logo.
All right, well, those are the books that we read and enjoyed this week. But you, the iFanboy patrons, are able to vote, as we mentioned earlier when we were talking about supporting us on Patreon. Patrons can vote on a book to be added to the rundown for us to talk about. And this week, Connor, what was the winner?
Tokyo Ghost number 10 just squeezed past World of Vortex by one vote. Yep. And as we mentioned last time, these are close votes. So if you're not, if you're a patron and you're not out there voting, we put the link on our social pages. We put it on the Patreon page itself. If you're not out there voting, you know, three of you could have changed this week's outcome. But
well, also, and a couple of you might be new folks, but please don't write your pick in the comment on the post with the link to where you can vote. Right. Just follow the link and then vote. That's
we don't count those votes. Also, we were going to talk about this book anyway. So thank you.
Don't tell them that. That saved time.
This was the final issue, Tokyo Ghost number 10. At the end of the book, Remender says he loves the world and the characters, and maybe they'll come back one day, but you know how that goes.
Yeah.
They rarely do. So this was the final issue of Tokyo Ghost. I think it was proper because I had fallen way behind, just so happens vacations and things. I had read three issues of this in a row this week.
Right.
And it felt like a little treading water.
Yeah.
For a while, like I think after
it's the Davey character.
Yeah, and after they went to Tokyo, and then they came back. Once they came back, it felt like we treaded water for like three or four issues. And then
I think once you took Lead Dent or whatever his real name is out of it, like him being alive, and it was harder to grab onto because that was the story that was interesting. He was in this in a form, but it wasn't really him.
Teddy.
Yeah, and I think having that Davey bad guy talk was a lot like a sort of a Rick version of Negan from Walking Dead, and I was kind of like, all right, I get it.
Yeah, I felt like it was I got a little more of a Mojo from the old X-Men Mojo books, you know. But I could see that across with Negan, like,
you know, I liked it. Like it was a great series, and like it was a good ending. I think it maybe could have been two issues shorter.
Yeah.
But gorgeous. Also, I'm just flipping through looking at these Sean Murphy pages, and There's a page where she is healing her friend from Tokyo, and you see Teddy's face in the background. It's a green panel, and there's the page where she's sailing away. Just a gorgeous one full shot of that Sean Murphy signed. You always know that those are special pages when the artist signs the page.
Yeah, that's a great page. Yeah,
I like this series. This is one of Remender's better anxiety about the future is series he's been doing.
I really like the metaphor of it.
And what I think will be interesting is to I would like to revisit this like in a year or so when it's the one volume of all 10 issues and see how that feels and reads, you know. But but gorgeous. And I know I spoke to Rick about it, and he said this is one of his, you know, favorite things he's done in a while, and so he's really proud of it. And I think the reason why is stopping is Sean Murphy is Sean Murphy, and he's got other stuff to do. And so, you know, keeping it, you know, this is what they did. They did this great story. Maybe they'll come back to it. So
yeah.
This is definitely one of the best things he was really tuned into this particular world characters, Rick was. He's been, like Miller, he's been one of those guys pumping out really great book after really great book. This is one of the better ones.
Yep.
And Sean Murphy's going off to do Batman for a year.
Or more.
Not bad.
Or more. Yeah.
All right, cool. So make sure you sign up to be an iFanboy patron at goodifanboy.com/support. And every week we post a link where you can vote for it. And you can be heard. You can pick a book that we talk about. Make us talk about something. Come on. We dare you.
Pick a book.
I always enjoy
read
the
book.
Ones that
it's like. Rate a book. Rating.
I enjoy the ones that are weird. I like those picks.
Should we give the Patreon books ratings?
Ooh, interesting.
And that way there would always be a rating.
Maybe.
Interesting.
Put it out to the people. I know what the people are going to say.
Yeah, people are going
to
say yes.
You know the people
absolutely
want it. There's no reason not to do it.
All right.
Not starting next time.
Starting next week. Okay.
All right, good.
We're not sticking with this one because it's over.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
We don't have just emails this week, so let's do some audience questions. Ethan from Richmond, Virginia. I can tell you exactly how long I thought about this because I blacked out for 30 seconds after Josh said, quote, a short box where I keep the comics I really care about, trying to imagine what that would make that cut. What's in the box? The short box holds 150 to 200 comics because I'm sure young Josh meticulously bagged and boarded, especially issues that he really cared about. Is the entire Preacher run in there or just highlights? I'm particularly interested in anything that may have a story behind it, like X-Men Fantastic Four does.
So I found the box. I was going to do this weeks ago, but I couldn't find the box. But I have.
Which I feel like
you really care about.
There's your answer, all right?
Yeah. No. The box was, it was because it was in my son's room and he was napping about the time that I had to get it for recording.
Was he sleeping on the box?
No, it was just in a closet.
Okay.
The thing about this box is it's dated because one of the things that's in it is every issue of the Kevin Smith, Joe Quesada, Daredevil, which was very important to me at the time. All the issues of The Inhumans by Jay Lee. The first issue, like, signed by Jenkins and Jay Lee. And then some sort of weird, there's a variant cover that I bought, like, for a lot of money because that was really rare at the time.
More and you love that. You love that series.
I still do. I don't like almost anything that he's done besides that, but I do.
Who?
Jenkins, sorry. And I have an issue. I have a Comic-Con exclusive Sentry number one. Signed by Jay Lee, Paul Jenkins, and I can't tell who the colorist is, but it's on here too.
Look at you.
I know. So like, that's the kind of stuff that's in here.
You're a huge Paul Jenkins fan.
I guess so. The first 12 or so issues of 100 Bullets. The first issue of Ennis and Dillon's Punisher is in here. A lot of Marvel Knights, like I said. All of my McFarlane Amazing Spider-Mans are in here.
Whoa,
which is my first comic book I ever bought.
Wow.
There he is. Enter the man called Paladin. Have gun, will kill. And you know what it says on this first part of the assassination plot? Now on sale twice a month. So all six parts of the assassination plot. Those were always really great. There's 12 issues of 100 Bullets, or maybe a little more. Batman Year One, number one. A lot of fucking.
Well, not number one. It's like number four.
Right, but number part one of the thing. Civil War. All of the Civil War issues are in here. But unlike everything else in the box, they are not bagged and boarded. They're just loose issues of Civil War, which is funny. Shit. I wonder if those are worth anything.
No. Let me answer. No.
All of Secret Invasion is in here.
Wow. Wow. Why do you have Secret Invasion?
I don't know. I must have still been. First issue of... Oh, I have an issue of Rucka's Detective, signed by Greg Rucka. Dave Johnson cover. Oh, my God. From Top Cow, signed by the author.
Oh, I know what it is.
Rising Stars number one, signed by J. Michael Straczynski.
Rising Stars, wow.
Wow. How we have changed. Okay, he's retiring. I got an issue of Thor here, signed by Walt Simonson. It's a Simonson Thor art. It's a lot of signed stuff in here from when we were going to cons early. So I got a Thunderbolts here signed by Nicieza and Mark Bagley. Wolverine number one, 82 or 84? The original limited series?
Mm.
The Wolverine one?
Oh, that's 82.
Signed by Claremont.
Yep. Wow, you really went for the signing.
That was but it was all like that first couple years we went. All of my Astro Cities are in here, the first series. A lot of those early Wolverine, Planetary, so the America's Best Comics, the other stuff that's in here. Not Best Comics. Planetary, that's the Warren Ellis stuff. Dark Victory, all those are signed. There you go. Oh, and,
interesting.
First couple issues of Miracle Man, Marvel Man.
Cool. Alright.
Yeah, Kevin Smith and Joe Quesada signed Daredevil number one.
Alright.
That's what's in the box.
That's a nice little trip down.
There's another box somewhere that has like it's like a long box that has like the runs of like all of Why the Last Man, all of Lucifer, all of like sort of those mid 2000 series that I really loved, Queen and Country, that kind of thing. I kept that.
Let's jump to the next email because that's probably relevant to what we just discussed with Josh.
All right, this comes from Ace in Vancouver, British Columbia. He says, I was shocked to discover that my new 52 run of Batman number 1-5 by Snyder and Capullo were somehow actually valuable as I was going through the process of purging back issues. Instead of taking them to the thrift store like I normally do, I took them to my local comic book store and made back some sweet coin. I was honestly under the impression that aside from ancient artifacts like X-Men number 1, comics were essentially not worth much. But what could possibly make a comic like the new 52 Batman valuable or collectible? It wasn't even the start of Snyder's run writing Batman. I would be lying to say that I've been thinking about this since people lost a lot of time and money investing in the death of Superman in the 90s, but essentially, dot, dot, dot.
lot in that ellipsis.
You can always get money for runs.
Yep.
Especially complete runs.
And of like the hot thing, which is Capullo on Batman was the hot thing.
Yeah, I mean, you can... I'm looking at eBay now. I looked at Batman, Scott
Snyder. I was just doing the exact same thing, yeah.
You can always... You can always sell a complete run of something. I sold all my New 52 books on eBay and got not like a huge amount of money, but I made my money back and profited because people just either missed out or whatever. They want the whole thing. So you want all the Detective Comics? Oh, here you go.
And they want the issues. Like they see value in that as opposed to the trades.
I'm looking here that there's a Batman number one, New 52, first printing, was read once after purchase and kept in a plastic bag. And it's currently is 12 bids. It's up to $41.
Jesus.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I feel like there's a little faction of collectors that have always been there. And now it feels like their time to sort of come out again. Because that's been happening. There was a time where Valiant issues with...
Wait, hold on. There's somebody trying to sell Batman 1 through 7 for $500 on eBay.
Oh, jeez. It's ridiculous.
He has no bids currently.
But remember like when Valiant variant issues were going for like $100, but only the week they came out.
Well, wait a minute. It's actually the entire run. It just has it written weirdly. It's Batman 1 through 52 for $500, but no bids on it.
I think I tried to sell all of my Ultimate Spider-Mans for something like that. Like all the original Ultimate Spider-Man run. Right. I thought about it because other people were selling. I don't think I actually did.
Ultimate Spider-Man 1 is worth a lot.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Here somewhere. So like the run of it's worth something. But I feel like...
I don't know about that. Okay. Yeah.
It'd be weird to sell that. But the thing is, like, I'm like, great, I'll sell it. But I think the thing is, you, like, with those runs, like, that takes a lot of time and effort, and sometimes that's not worth it. Like, I could totally sell a run of comic. Like, I probably have a dozen runs of comics I could sell for $40 each. But am I going to do it? You know what I mean?
There's on eBay, there's an Ultimate Spider-Man number 1 through 77 lot for $130.
Yeah.
But...
like the number one, like that have to be CGC. Like it wouldn't just be an issue that you have. That's the thing.
Like, that's the funny thing. Like recently when I was going through my collection, I pulled my New Mutants number 98 because it's the first Deadpool. And, and I saw people selling, just bagged copy like mine for, $300, $350. And then I saw somebody with a CGC one going for over $1,500. Yeah, so the CGC, the locking in of the value really can catapult that price. I mean, like here, I'm looking at Ultimate Spider-Man number 1, 9.8 CGC, and it's on eBay for $285. So
I feel like in the 90s, everyone was doing this. But now I feel like it's a select group of people who are doing this.
Yeah.
That's the way that they've chosen to participate in comics. As opposed to in the 90s, it was... that was a part of the conversation for all of it.
Yeah, everybody bought multiple copies.
Yep.
Yeah, and I can tell you, being on the con circuit for a couple of years and handling creator signings and stuff like that, the guys walk up with the suitcase and open it up, and they've got a stack of books, or they bring over a CGC rep to watch it get signed, mm-hmm. And there are definitely people that is their participation in comics, and say what you will, but that's
Then the creator conversation is starting to go. Well, if that happens, I should be able to charge them for that.
Yeah,
which is fair because those people are profiting massively off some guy writing on the thing,
Yeah,
when the guy is already like it's his work for hire job, he already got paid for it, and that's it.
All right, we moving on, or what are we doing here?
You decide, Josh. It's your show.
Let's save it.
Okay. We'll save the voicemail for next time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you know why. Because it's a long voicemail. Didn't keep it to 30 seconds.
That's true. You would have made your cut if you'd been 30 seconds instead of a minute plus.
All right, so if you have any questions that you want to get in, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com. And don't forget to let us know who you are, where you're from, how long you thought about the question, and try to keep it brief, whether it's in an email or a media file in the form of a voicemail. Keep it within 30 seconds or so there. So, all right, now is the moment that we've all been waiting for.
So every week we want to thank a small group of our patrons who support us at patreon.com/ifanboy. If you support at a certain level, you get thanked on the show. And what we do is we give you a dumb Or awesome, depending on your point of view, superpower.
Yeah.
And so this week, Ron starts off.
All right, so our first patron that we want to thank is David Giza. And David Giza has the power to tell you if that food is spoiled.
Ooh.
So no more checking dates or anything. They go, David, this meat still good? He's like, oh, yeah, you can cook that.
He could even tell you if the, you know, like, sometimes the number isn't actually accurate.
Right, yeah. You know,
they're actually very conservative with the food dating, so that'd be that's interesting.
Do you think he would
save
like,
a lot of money?
You think he would go and hang out by like the dairy section, and he would just be like,
I think actually what happens then is that he opens a restaurant that is really where they make their money is on their inventory management, on their food management.
As the food here is really good. Why is? Because they never get screwed over by the distributors.
Exactly. So
that's a practical application.
Yep. Wait, can he just tell you if it is like binary, or can he tell you when it's going to expire?
No, it's just whether it's expired or not. He can't tell you when. He can't do it. Oh, you got 2 more days. He's like, no, it's not there yet. It's So
I see.
Yep. All right. Next up is Matt, either Colthurst or Colthurst. And Matt's power is that whenever he touches paper, he can tell what kind of tree it was.
Wow.
That's an alder. That's a birch stock. That's a mix consisting of alder, birch, and old growth maple, so you may not want to use that anymore.
Interesting.
All right.
All right, so Stuart Stapleton's power, at first, it may not seem that impressive, but when you think about it, it's actually very valuable.
All right.
Stuart Stapleton can touch any ink cartridge and fill it back up.
Wow. Well, so now here's the question, though. Can he just generate ink? Does there need to be a cartridge?
As long as there is a molecule, much like our friend earlier in the show who could heal from a molecule, as long as there's a molecule of ink still in that cartridge, he can replicate it.
Is that also
Okay, so it's got to be the ink has to be in a receptacle, so he could refill a pen for all intents and purposes.
Yes, like you're right. He can't just make ink. He can't like just shoot ink at you. Like he's not an octopus.
Right.
Stuart Stapleton is not an octopus.
He's not an octopus. Put that on your business card, Stuart. But he, as long as the ink is in a receptacle, he can refill it. So you just buy that one cartridge of ink, and you're good for your forever, Stuart.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. He's valuable. He's a valuible employee. He's going to make back for the company his salary just from refilling.
That's
from
a man who needs to work for himself, though. You got to start your own outlet for that because otherwise, you know, it's just exploitation.
You can bring your ink by his house for a small fee. He'll refill it for you.
Oh, all right. There you go.
Does it tire him out? Does it deplete him? Does he need to, does he need to worry about being dehydrated?
No.
Okay.
It just gives it's a little boring, but.
Well, that's the problem. There's your problem right there. Yeah. Not like the paper guy. Matt's just like, I don't, it's birch.
It's always a surprise at the paper guy. This guy's like, the ink's just, it's red ink. Yeah, I go, I know.
Oh, can he do all colors?
Yeah, anything. He's replicating.
Because it's replicating what was, okay.
He's replicating the molecule. Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. But only
what
for
about, ink. Now, we say receptacle, so what about like India ink, like a jar of India ink like an artist would use?
Yes, because it's in a container.
And it's ink.
Yeah.
Okay, I should have known that answer, I suppose.
Stuart Stapleton. One pen, one cartridge guy. That's all he needs.
All right, there you go. All right, and our last patron, we want to thank Matthew Murphy. I really hope he's into photography because his hands are also flashbulbs. And the great thing is that he's an excellent photographer's assistant. You know, like when they do the pop, 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 whatever. All he's got to do is just he takes his hands from a fist to open hand, and it's a flash. But the thing is also is that he could have a career in law enforcement or at red light cameras, you know, and things like anywhere where you need a flash, he can step in. Easy pass, that sort of thing. You know, they want to catch the drunk drivers. He's just standing there he can get a job where he's just sitting there on a telephone pole, just flashing drivers as they go by. So they call him Flashbulb.
Connor, is it weirding you out that we found Ron's actual hidden talent?
I know. What people don't know is that we discussed this off the air when we first had the idea, and Ron went off for about 20 minutes with
and like
new ideas every few minutes.
And not bad ones.
No, they were all good.
They were all good, and I really, I thought, well, this will be one that I'm good at, and now I don't even know why I'm bothering.
What can I say? I've given a lot of thought about what mutant power I'd have.
You've shown zero creative fictional spark, but now...
Flashbulbs in the hands. It's weird.
And crazy enough, they call them flashbulb.
One of these companies needs to hire you.
Does it make the popping sound like the old...
Yes, like the, yes, like the old 40s. Like,
and then the fizzle?
Yeah. Yep.
That's awesome. Great. So if you want to get your own dumb superpower, go to patreon.com/ifanboy. Find the appropriate level, and you'll get on the list. And there's a lot of patrons, so we got a long way to go. Thank you all for who give money, and we appreciate every one of you. Hopefully you enjoy the superpowers. Let's do some plugs quickly and get out of here. We had our Batman Killing Joke show that came out. All of you were wondering about. In fact, we had someone wondering the moment of posting it, where it was. Batman Killing Joke, where Paul and Ryan and I got together to discuss the controversial DC Universe animated original film. And look forward to next month, as promised through Patreon, we have a Booksplode coming. Actually, not next month. It's now September. This month, we'll have a Booksplode for you sometime later in the month.
Very exciting.
Mm-hmm. The last month, we did the Talksplode, which is still there, with Gabriel Hardman and Karina Becko of Invisible Republic and many other books, some of which you will not know about yet, but they'll be cool. And it's a great conversation with a couple of really great creators who are very different from one another, who also work together.
Did Gabe lay down any laws?
I mean, not directly like that, but pretty much.
A lot of salty judgment.
Oh, sure. Sure. But that's kind of what we signed up for. Yeah.
Did he judge you?
I'm sure. Come on.
Guaranteed, yeah. And it's important.
Yeah, you know what? Yes.
That talk was the first in our commitment to adding a fifth episode per month, assuming that it's a 4-week month, where we do a Talksplode interview or have a discussion around a graphic novel. And that's going to be our next one in September, right, Connor?
Yes. I just mentioned that, yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
He's just checking. You seem to know.
Right out.
I zoned out. And finally, if you like Goodfellas, the movie Goodfellas or Martin Scorsese or anything like that, you should go check out our sister podcast, Goodfellas Minute. It's all done and taken care of. No new episodes, but we're coming up on the year anniversary, and it's a great time to revisit it. So go to goodfellasminute.com. You can listen to it again, or if you haven't listened to it, listen to it new for the first time. And finally, you can go over to ifanboy.com, where you can comment on the post about this show, find the Killing Joke show or the Gabriel Hardman Karina Becko interview or the upcoming Booksplode, and all the other great stuff. It's all there at ifanboy.com. You can go follow us on social media at facebook.com/ifanboy, or you can go to Twitter at ifanboy and follow us there. And you follow us individually. You can find Josh at J.A. Flanagan, Connor at C.S. Kilpatrick, and I am at RonXO.
And finally, if you like the show, write a review on iTunes. It's how people find podcasts. It takes you only a few seconds. We appreciate everyone who does that. And better yet than that is to tell your friends or your comic store buddies or comic store owners or whoever about our show. We really appreciate everyone spreading the word. And thank you very much. And that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening. My name is Connor.
And I'm Ron.
Pop, 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 pop.
I feel like I need to upright my game now, Josh. I liked my thing, but now I feel inadequate.
You can't. You know what? You can't call him out on not paying attention to something else when he did that beforehand.
Listen, he was drained. He collapsed into his chair.
I did turn the air conditioning off when we started the show, and we're getting to that point where it's like, I need to turn that back on.
You're just feeling that drip.
Yep. the one bead going down the back.
Bye. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing, and some people, you know, like, they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away, and, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.